At this time in our service as believers, we are honored and privileged to have the opportunity to celebrate the Lord's Supper together. We do this in remembrance of Jesus. And what are we to remember? 1 Peter 2:24 states it very clearly. And he, Jesus, bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds we are healed. As you hold the bread and juice, meditate first on what was given to you through Christ's selfless sacrifice for sin. And then remember what Jesus received in return from you. Let's open up our Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3, verses 7 through 9. Verse 7. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in viewing the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, but that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. Let's pray. Father, it is a true and trustworthy statement that you sent your Son to this world to save sinners. You have given believers the righteousness of Jesus so that when we stand in front of him on that judgment day, we will be holy and blameless in his sight. And I pray that you would be gracious to those who are here and have not yet been given the faith to believe, who have not seen the glory of Christ and the simplicity of knowing him. We need nothing but your Son, Jesus. Open up blind eyes and deaf ears to see and to hear and to understand the wonders of your word. In Christ's name, amen. The context of Philippians 3, 7 through 9 is this, as Paul is recalling his record prior to salvation. Paul, born in Israel, circumcised on the eighth day, raised in Jerusalem, and educated strictly according to the law. A true Pharisee, he exercised strict obedience to the law. However, things changed for Paul the day that he was on the road to Damascus. His mission was to arrest and persecute Christians. But instead, on that day, Paul became a new man, changed by Jesus Christ, and at that moment, Paul's pedigree, his self-proclaimed righteousness, and his education all became worthless. Paul abandoned his self-righteousness and was given the righteousness of God. And what is so important about the righteousness of God? You see, at the point that our life is done on earth, we will stand before God and we will be judged concerning our righteousness. If we do not meet God's standards for righteousness, the verdict is guilty, and we are sentenced to spend eternity in hell. So how does the world define righteousness? Dictionaries define righteousness as behavior that is characterized by acceptable standards of morality and uprightness. You could categorize this as being a good person. However, The biblical standard for righteousness is perfection according to God. It's God's standard. And his standard is that you must be perfect in everything. Perfect in your character. Perfect in your attitude. Perfect in every behavior. Perfect in every word. God's perfection is written in his word, both to describe his character and the standard by which he measures human righteousness. The bad news is that God's righteousness is not possible for man to attain on his own. But the good news is that God's righteousness is possible for mankind by the cleansing of sin by Jesus Christ. Believers possess the righteousness of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. As we look at verses 7 and 8, we can see what kind of impact that day had on Paul. Verse 7, but whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, so that I might gain Christ. Paul is saying that he has something greater in value than what he had before Christ. The greater value that Paul has is knowing Jesus Christ. To know Jesus is not simply to have an intellectual knowledge about him, but it is to have a shared life with him. The latter part of verse 8 and in verse 9, Paul goes on to describe this greater value that he has in Christ. Paul says, so that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. The term that best describes Paul as gaining Christ and to be found in him is to be justified, to be declared righteous. It is to receive a pardon for the guilt and the penalty of sin. It is to have Christ's righteousness imputed to a believer's account and the believer's sin imputed to Christ. Paul describes this in verse 9, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. Paul is saying that he is no longer depending on his own righteousness to save him from sin, but is looking to the righteousness that comes from God through faith. Paul has been given the righteousness of Christ, which is the only righteousness that is acceptable to God. The requirement to enter God's kingdom, heaven, is Christ's perfect righteousness. So as we celebrate communion and recall what happened at the cross, Christ's death and his resurrection, please remember as believers, we received into our account God's perfect righteousness. But also remember what was imputed to Christ. In my case, total domination of sin. I was powerless within that sin. There was no way that I could break the chains of sin that bound me. And I know that there are some here this morning that do not know Jesus Christ and have not experienced that complete forgiveness. You must know that you do not possess God's perfect righteousness. And if you should die today, there would be no chance for pardon or forgiveness. However, the good news is that you are here today, hearing the message of salvation, and as long as you're breathing, it's not too late. Please take this opportunity to think about what you've heard this morning and seriously consider God, asking God to forgive you. Admit that you're a sinner and in need of His forgiveness. Repent and join us in our communion celebration. To repent means to have a change of heart as to who Christ is and what He has done. Whether it is to repent of a willful rejection of Christ, or to repent from ignorance or distrust, forgiveness only comes through a change in heart. Repentance is the changing of your mind from the rejection of Christ to faith in Christ. If you choose not to repent and seek God's forgiveness this morning, please let the bread and the juice pass you by. If you're here today and you've put your faith and trust in Christ but are struggling with unconfessed sin, take this time to seek God's forgiveness. And if there is someone that you've sinned against, seek their forgiveness and restoration, and then join us in communion. The men will now bring the bread and the juice. Please take communion on your own when you're ready.